with stars in your eyes. And the dream in your heart with stars in your eyes. And the dream in your heart.
Cat Edmondson on WBGO. That's a song called Sparkle and Shine. And that's a song Fred Astaire inspired or something to that effect, right?
Well, when I wrote it, I was imagining him singing it. So I suppose you can say he inspired it.
Plenty of songwriters always imagined him singing it because he sang those songs just right.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not the first one.
No, but I mean, he didn't do a lot of filigree and weirdness and even that much personality. His personality came through on just singing the song as is.
He always captured the sentiment, and he always came off so cool doing it.
And that's what you aspire to, right?
Yes, I guess so.
It's like, you know, what are your goals for the future? To come off so cool.
I've already foregone that goal. It's not happening.
No, come on. It's happening. I mean, the twist is somebody who's inspired by Fred Astaire also was doing gigs with Gary Clark Jr. and all these other folks. And you come from Texas, you know, the home of the blues. And, I mean, did you grow up hearing any of that music and wanting to sing any of that music?
Yeah, I did. And subsequently, I've written blues, like Texas Shuffle kind of blues. But, you know, I love music, and to me, a song is a song. It just so happens that the first music that I heard was of the Great American Songbook, and so I think that's my foundation. I keep coming back to it, and when I write, especially lately, I'm writing a lot in the style of the old songs.
You're writing songs like the old songs as opposed to recording the old songs.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I got started, I actually was singing standards in clubs in Austin, Texas. And my first album was a compilation of standards and cover tunes. But I've always been a songwriter. I've done it since I was a little girl, and it was just a matter of time before I would record my own originals.
You came up musically in Austin?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was quite musical on my own in Houston. I never studied, but then I moved to Austin to find a way into a music career, and I found it there. I started gigging, and I spent several years there just gigging constantly before I moved to New York.
Austin is one of those cities, and a lot of people don't know it who aren't into Willie Nelson and whatever, but there's so much music happening on that scene.
It's true.
That it's one of those scenes like New Orleans and like Kansas City was and like Chicago, where musicians came from all around to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it all came together there in Austin, including lots of blues and country and whatever else was happening.
Yeah, and in fact, I kind of stuck out as a jazz singer, if you will, because there is a jazz scene there, but it's still relatively small, and it's not what's mainly being heard out of Austin, you know? So I felt quite different there, which was ultimately a good thing because, you know, you kind of want to stand out as an artist.
Well, now you're coming out of Brooklyn.
That's right.
That's right.
Like every other artist.
The new album is called Old Fashioned Gal, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to celebrate it. You're going to be at the Poisson Rouge. Talk about jazz tradition. That used to be the village gate. And so many great singers and players and everybody else worked there. So you're going to, they'll be fine. I think, you know, I've been there since they converted. And it's not like the funky old village gate. But I think some of those vibes are still going to be down there.
Well, somewhere. I hope so. I like playing there.
Yeah. So who are you going to play with here?
This is Roy Dunlap on piano, and we've got Bob Hart on bass and Aaron Thurston on drums.
All right, and you're going to do the title song,
old-fashioned
which comes with a really funny video that you directed also, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the video depicts me in very clearly a New York apartment, which incidentally was actually my bedroom that we converted into a living room. And somebody asked me to sing a song, which is quite usual when I go to a party or something. I'll often get asked to sing something, and so I break into this song.
So is there a trick on this video, like which of these characters who's looking at you so lovingly is the actual sweetheart? Can you tell? Do you think?
No, are you asking if
yeah, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of characterization happening in your video as you're singing, and you're looking up and people are looking at you in a certain way, where they're like, I love this girl.
Yeah, there's a story being told. Right. Because oftentimes when I write, I see a scene from like a movie. I mean, when I first started hearing songs from the Great American Songbook, it was through old film. And so I think quite naturally, simultaneously, as I'm hearing music in my head, I also see things. And that was my first directorial attempt, and perhaps there will be more.
Except that it's in color, it does have that feeling and that look in your video, certainly, and in the song, certainly, of, you know, that any minute now Nick and Nora are going to have to solve a murder that's just happened in the bedroom. But in the meantime, the song plays on, right?
Yes. Yeah, you won my heart that with murder. I'm actually a big fan of murder mysteries.
There you go. Well, murder this song. No. It comes complete with a verse on some of your songs.
Yes.
Which is another thing is old-fashioned.
Yeah, I love verses. And a funny thing about the verse, I think I understand why eventually they got rid of them, because, for one, it's really hard to sequence an entire record with a bunch of verses at the beginning, because you want to go with like a, there needs to be like a rhythmic flow to the record, but every time you start with a slow verse or something that's kind of out of time, it brings you right back down to zero. So I actually found it very difficult to sequence this album with a bunch of verses on it. But I was hard set on keeping my verses because they just keep getting rid of.
Because sometimes the verses, what follows is anticlimactic. The verses are so much fun.
You know,
are so good.
Sure.
Anyway, so here's an old-fashioned gal herself, Kat Edmondson on WBGO.
In a high-tech driven marketplace of communications and aerospace, are you seeking something far less complicated? If modern day advancements do not seem to you enhancements, but instead abstruse and often overrated, are you tired of being assailed by barrages of emails, and our pop-up ads destroying your morale? Well, then look no further, brother. We were destined for each other. I'm an old-fashioned gal. Is it often when you dine that you're also apt to whine? How you wish the spot had not a television. The jokes your date was telling that ensued such LOLing weren't exactly what your hoping heart envisioned. If you would care to dance, but refrain for fear of chance that what they may play might hurt your ear canal, find this dating site too sleazy. Contact me direct. I'm easy. I'm an old-fashioned gal. Bring me a good old-fashioned telephone, one inextricably connected to a wall. Oh, why be a slave to my telephone? And God forbid that I should us a single call or text or notification. All the old ways of relating, making friends, or even mating now are taking place in virtual locales. Just come over. Let's play records. How about a game of checkers? I'm an old-fashioned. I wanna be romance like an old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned. The moonlight. I love the old fashioned things. The sound of rain. Upon my window pane, the starry song that April sings, this year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighing sighs, holding hands, this my heart understands. I'm old-fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how I want to be, as long as you'll agree to stay old-fashioned in a high-tech driven marketplace. I'm an old-fashioned. They paddle quietly under a canopy where no one else could see a thing. On such a night in June, beneath a silver moon, they shared a boat for two.
Cat Edmondson on WBGO, and that's a song. It's about more than a canoe, but you're in the canoe in the song, right?
That's right. I mean, I don't know if I'm in the canoe, but
someone is in
a
canoe.
Someone's in a canoe.
And there's mosquitoes around the canoe. And you're floating along in the lushness, as you call it, of an MGM musical. I don't remember there being that many canoes in MGM musicals.
No, there weren't, but it's lush, and it's and if it were a portion of an MGM musical, they would pull out all the stops. So it's, you know.
Yeah, all those musical numbers that are supposed to be in shows on Broadway, There's no stage big enough for right. all those they, dancers yeah. and singers and scenery
for,
changes.
For 12 and, pianos.
And, I, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you're really inspired by those movies, nonetheless.
I am, yeah.
And the new album is called Old Fashioned Gal, hence, you know, I mean, that's how it fits in there. But when you put this record together, really, is there a concept? I mean, is it really that you are this old-fashioned gal? So you're writing songs, and all these songs you've written.
I'm writing out of my passion and love of this style, but the actual theme is about being oneself, being yourself, being true to who you are. That's what old-fashioned gal is about. That's what another song on the album, A Voice, is about. Which is a very contemporary theme, actually. So I'm writing from my influences, and it comes in this garb of these vintage sounds and references. But it's about me being me now, and encouraging anyone else to be them now.
I haven't asked anybody in a long time, but this is the perfect moment to ask. But did you have an epiphanal moment when you knew who you were?
No, of course not.
No?
No, I mean, I have epiphanal moments, but then I forget all about them, and then I begin asking the question again. I literally ask myself that every day. Who am I?
Sometimes you don't realize when the turning point happened. You just know that you turned, and then you flash back, and, oh, it was there. I went this way instead of that way. But then, you know, I think all of us get redefined throughout our lives.
Yeah, I should hope so.
But early on, you wanted to be who you are. You wanted to be a singer.
I did, yeah. First time I think I was 5 years old, I saw Gene Kelly on the screen singing and dancing in the rain.
Ah.
And I identified with what he was doing and who he was in such a way that someone could have whispered in my ear, this is what you're going to do, because I accepted it as a truth. It was a thought, obviously, that came to me. This is what I'm going to do. But, you know, almost as though it was a role that I had been given, and I never thought twice about pursuing it. I always wondered how, but I never wondered what.
So how? How did it happen?
Very roundabout ways, but like I said, I came from Austin, or I was born in Houston. I moved to Austin to pursue music, and I started singing in the clubs, and then I started getting kind of a following in Austin. I released my first record while I was there, and getting to know a lot of musicians, and I realized that I needed to come to New York, because that's actually a place that I had always wanted to go. I wanted to be in New York City. And I felt like it was important for me, taking the next step in my career, to leave and come to the city, which it's an international city as such. And so you're more on the world stage when you're in New York. And as soon as I got to New York, I began working on my second record. And I mean, I could get into a lot of great detail about how, but
if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, as it were. But that's the thing. Still, you know, we were talking before about the verses. Sometimes the verse is what makes the song, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Stardust. I mean, you know, Stardust, that you got to have that purple,
that setup.
Yeah, yeah. And Singing in the Rain was a song before. But 20 years after, Roger Edens added that do-de-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's what makes that song.
Doesn't it?
I think. And you know that. I think you're trying to find that on this record, too. These little moments.
Yeah.
That really just encapsulate everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And it all radiates from there. Well, let's hear you do something radiant now from the album. What do you want to sing?
Thank you. Let's do If. One, two... 3, 4. If you're going home one evening and you run into someone with whom you used to rendezvous, go, but you want to stay. If a detour through the park lures you further to the dark, by then you still remember who you were on your way to, I'll be waiting for you if you do.
If on WBGO, not to be confused with Bread. Wasn't that a Bread song called If?
Oh, I don't know.
Horse with No Name, you could whip that in there. I don't know. No.
You know, I was actually influenced by the Ink Spots.
Well, that's...
When I was writing
that. Ink Spots are a far cry from Bread.
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, but I think subconsciously they have If I Didn't Care.
There you go.
I think that's probably
there you go.
Where that
that's much
started.
More of a connection. And that's what you were listening to.
Yeah.
When you were growing up. I mean, you listen to the Ink Spots. And I mean, it's so fascinating when you listen to all these great singers who inspired you. And then as singers will be listening to you, we all hear something. You're saying you're trying to find yourself or be, not find, but be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, in certainly in the jazz world, aspires to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I always like to say, not trying to be best or even better. Just want to be...
me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This record, is this you? This is you. Old-fashioned gal.
Quite.
And Al Schmidt, you worked with the legend of engineering on this album, right?
I did, yeah. He and I have been working together for years now, since my first record. We've been collaborating. And so he was... the best person to call to mix the album again. And I love working with him. What is it about him?
Because Diana works with him and,
sure.
and so many others have worked with him for decades. But what is it?
I don't know. how he does what he does, but he does it so seamlessly. He's got big ears, and he plays the mixing board like it's an instrument. I mean, he oftentimes he's mixing while he's recording, but he didn't record this record. A guy named Fernando Lodero recorded it. So when Al came in, he just kind of finesses the board and comes up with this fantastic sound. I mean, it really is wondrous what he's able to do with a record post-recording.
The record we're talking about is Old Fashioned Gal. She's going to be singing at Le Poisson Rouge with these cats?
Yeah, with these guys.
Which cats? What cats?
Roy Dunlap on piano. Roy Dunlap. Bob Hart on bass. And Aaron Thurston on drums.
Kat Edmondson, she's going to be singing. Then it's your time. Or it's not your time.
It's not my time.
Oh, well, it's time for you. That's for sure.
I auditioned to be a star. With all my ambition, I knew I'd go far. Farthest I got was 49. They said it wasn't my time. A fortune teller assessed my hand and then shook her head as I told her my plans. Told me my planets weren't aligned. She said it's not your time. I imagine all the many things I could do, but then I go and try to see them through. There I was knocking on death's door when death opened up and asked me what for. Told me I had to wait in line. He said it's not your time. Thought I could model, live the high life, but on my way up, cut off at 5. They said unless you get to 5'9", maybe it isn't your time. I fancy dancing, I love to beat, and then I discovered my 2 left feet. That left me to the conga line. I guess it's not my time. I wish you could see all these things, but the only time I do is in my dreams. I adored you, I made you laugh. Those things amounted to merely a half. Half of your heart won't make you all mine. You said it's not our time, dear. I guess it's not my time. Yeah.
That's very much a song of an old-fashioned feeling. You know, not just that you add all those verses on some of your songs that you have written, but you have these little asides in there and the way the melody will twist and turn this way and that way. It's sort of what was happening in the 30s and 40s. You hear all those because they're telling stories.
Right. Yeah. When I was writing this record, I was watching a lot of movies from the 30s and 40s, and I was watching a lot of old RKO pictures, and I was imagining, like, this part of a really grand production a bunch of theater people. All of those musicals were about people in the biz. You know, they were all about being on Broadway or being in the movies, you know?
Right.
And so I was imagining some people goofing off backstage and singing this song on the set of a musical.
Do you dream that? I mean, you dream about going back. Do you have dreams where you're actually dancing with Fred Astaire yourself or Gene Kelly? Or
no, I've never dreamed that before. That would be wonderful. I would love to have that dream, you know, while I'm sleeping. But I actually, when I was a kid, I went to the same church as Fred Astaire. I was living in California, and my mom attended this church, and I was 2 years old, but she used to tell me when I was little that was my friend. She used to point him out and say, "There's your friend," and he would wave to me. And then I would watch his movies, and I somehow made this connection that we really were friends, you know, and so I've always had this affinity for him in this sort of familiar way that's entirely delusional, but it's
no. I mean, I looked at a couple of your videos, and they have this definite old-fashioned feeling in some ways. So, you know, next thing you know, dance in one of them.
Oh, well, I will. There's another video that's coming out not too far from now, and I'll be dancing. I tap dance as well.
Look out.
I started doing that when I came to New York because there's so many great places to take tap.
Tap dancers are drummers, you know.
I do know.
Okay. So watch out. He's laughing. Tell us who's again with you today, and it's been great.
Speaking of drummers, we got Aaron Thurston on the drums.
Indeed.
Bob Hart on bass.
Okay.
And Roy Dunlap on piano.
Terrific. And you too, likewise. It's been a treat.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you came. This new album, again, is called Old Fashioned Gal. That's her. They're going to be at Le Poisson Rouge, the Red Fish.
Yeah, so come join us.
To celebrate this new album from Cat Emerson. Here's another one of the songs on the album, How's About It, Baby?
This one's got a verse, too. What good fortune I have had running into you. As the almanacs say, once in a blue moon. I've no fancy affair to invite you to. But to stay right here could turn out to be a boon. How's about it, baby? Look at my amazing view. Pretty as a picture, and the landscape is lovely too. We ain't got no money, but honey, we ain't got no blues. Except for all these blue skies and your blue eyes and the rising moon. The way to paradise is through your heart. And if I steal a kiss, it's a real good start. It's a double feature. First one is the sun recedes. Second one is called when the stars come out. It's in 3D. Oh, I'll reserve our seats right over there beneath the willow tree. Just you and me, so how's about it, baby? double feature. First one is The Sun Recedes. Second one is called When the Stars Come Out. It's in 3D. Yeah, I'll reserve our seats right over there beneath the willow tree. Just you and me, so how's about it, baby?
Cat Edmondson, that's one of the songs at and on WBGO, but it's also on the new album, Old Fashioned Gal. And again, one of the songs she'll be singing at La Poisson Rouge to celebrate the new album. And thanks for bopping by.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks for having us.